This morning I'll be reading to you out of the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 34 through 48. That's Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 48. And this comes on the heels of the centurion Cornelius having a vision about how Christ was present and how Christ had been present in his life and how he was being called to do something. And we see now how the Gentiles are also hearing the good news and how they're receiving the Holy Spirit. So we see what is happening now after the resurrection of Christ, after the Pentecost, after all of these things. We're brought back to what the resurrection of Christ means and how the resurrection of Christ made him available to all people and all places, not just a select few, not just those that he came in contact with his teachings, but all humankind now has the opportunity to experience Jesus Christ. So let us hear this word. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. I want to repeat that. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to those who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as the judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And again, that's important to hear, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I think as I was praying about this message and what we were going to speak this week, there were a couple things that came to mind. One was, what is our responsibility post-resurrection? So Christ has been resurrected from the dead. Now what? Now I did see something that I didn't post on social media. I started to last night. But I saw something this week that got my attention that said, you know what? We still have a lot of work to do in our world, in our community. We really have a lot of work to do because everybody don't quite understand the implication and the impact of Jesus Christ rising from the dead. And that he did that for us, that he died a sinner's death, that he might wash away our sin and give us a promise of an everlasting life. But what I saw is said, if Jesus Christ can rise from the dead, then you can get out of bed. So if Jesus Christ can rise from the dead, then you can get out of bed on Sunday mornings. And you can go to church. I mean, the man died for us. And so that's one of the things, the least of these things that we can do. But, so that's not the title of my sermon. The title of the sermon today is Get Back to Work. Get back to work. Why? Because there are still people that think that this was all for nothing. There are people that really don't understand
how valuable of a gift we have received from God in the giving of Jesus Christ. There are people that still don't understand how much of an outpouring of grace and mercy it is that we have received through Jesus Christ. So it means that we have to help people understand. Now we've had a time for, I guess, renewal, if you will. We took a time out. Over these last 40 days, we have spent a lot of time in self-reflection. These 40 days of Lent, we've spent time in self-reflection. We've spent time in prayer. We've spent time studying the Scriptures, reading. We've spent time meditating. We've had a lot of questions in our heart that we have dealt with. Some of those we have posed from the Scriptures. Some of those you've been invited to wrestle with. And some of those probably have just come to your mind, such as, how am I doing? How am I doing as a child of God? How am I doing as a Christian? How is it with my soul? How is it with my faith? Where am I being strong? So what are my strong points? What are my weak points as a Christian? Where am I at on my spiritual journey? Some of those other questions might be, how have we been called to change? Over these last 40 days, and I said at the beginning of Lent that if you spend an extra 15 minutes a day reading the Bible, studying the Scripture, that something is going to happen. Where are you being called to change? Or where are you being called to serve? Or how are you being called to see differently? And quite honestly, the Scripture this morning deals especially with that. We have come through the Lenten season now. We've experienced the resurrection. And people are being invited to look at things a little bit differently. And then there are so many other questions that we have probably spent time with. We've taken a part in a journey together, this body of Christ. Not only those that sit here, but all everywhere worldwide who have professed Christ as their Savior and offered their sins before Him. We have taken this journey together. And my hope is that we all have some positive experience or some positive change that comes as a result of it. But in the end, I say that we can agree. Things have changed. We started with Lynn on Ash Wednesday, worked through, came into Palm Sunday, and we talked about how interesting of a week Holy Week was. And then we had a Holy Thursday service, having conversations about what was happening, and we went through the Passion story together. And then, of course, we're here celebrating the empty tomb today. But so things have changed. We've made it through Lent. Easter is here. Now it's time to get back to work because there are people that still need to receive the Holy Spirit. There are people that still need to be exposed to the Word of God through the way that we live our lives. There are people that still need to hear the truth that is in the gospel and to have that chance to be exposed to something that is bigger than who they are. So over the last week, we spent time with reading and we recalled how Christ was put to death by the sin of humankind. How He was hanged on a cross beside two criminals. And how the same people who welcomed Him in to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday were the same people who shouted, "Crucify Him," whenever He was on trial. How the world turned on Christ, and as a result, an innocent lamb was slain on a cross, enduring a great amount of pain. And a lot of times we like to put that pain behind us a little bit. Now, a conversation we had last week in one of our small groups where we watched the movie The Passion of the Christ. How many have ever seen that? I mean, if you've seen that movie, you know how violent of a movie that is when it depicts the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And we needed to be reminded at times of what Christ endured for us. Because His death was not simply a go to sleep, and if I should die before I wake, it wasn't that peaceful kind of death. It was a painful, agonizing death that He took on for us, that our sin could be no more and we could have a promise of an everlasting life. That's what He did for us. And the world did that to Him. He died for us, yet the world put Him on a cross. But today, praise be to God, we celebrate an empty tomb
because the prophecies have come true. What Jesus told us has come true, that the temple would be torn down and rebuilt in 3 days. And his temple has risen back up from the dead. And because he lives, the world has changed. Because he lives, the original sin of Adam and others has been put behind us. And the victory over death and the powers of the world has been achieved with the resurrection of our Savior from the dead. The world needed saving, and God's answer was through his Son, Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. And man, what a sign of grace and mercy that is. Now, in the days leading up to his death, Christ had continued preparing the disciples for that day and that hour when he would go on and they would be on their own and that the world would change and the world would turn against them. But he continued to prepare them, and he also reminded them of what their responsibilities would be. Christ modeled a servant leader going about doing good, healing, casting out demons, offering others a choice, giving people a chance to make a decision, to choose life or death, to choose him or to choose the power of darkness or sin. He gave people that opportunity. He modeled his expectations for his disciples. They got to see directly the power of his witness and what he was doing. They got to see who he was spending his time with. That it was not the kings and the queens and the royalty. The time that he was spending were with ordinary human beings that had made mistakes, that needed saving. And that is the person that Jesus Christ is. And these stories live in our hearts. These stories live in the scriptures. In this model of a servant love, of a servant leadership, of being truly humbled, of not being greater than the master. These are the things that Jesus left us with. So our charge today, brothers and sisters, is to move away from the empty tomb. And we say this at Christmas, that we've got a beautiful manger scene at Christmas, and we have this picture of Jesus in a perfect little nice serene manger. And then we say that we can't keep Jesus in the manger. That we need to let Jesus be for the world what he is to be. And that we have to remember that the birth is only the beginning. And today we say that the empty tomb is only the beginning. So we have to get back. We have to move away from today. We have to move away from this empty tomb. We have to get back into the work of ministry and discipleship to which we've been called. We've had our time of renewal. We've looked at those places where we're doing well and what we need to do differently. Now it's time to get back to the work that we accepted when we said yes to the Lord, I will follow you. It's time to get back to loving God, loving neighbor, making disciples that all people can be baptized in the name of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, today there are people that are near to you, that are in your circles, in your family, in your circle of friends, that have yet to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. There are people that have yet to experience that cleansing grace and mercy that comes from knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. There are people that you're going to encounter today as you go about your travels that don't yet know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And these people need to have the opportunity to be invited to make a change. That they too can receive the cleansing waters of baptism. And we think a lot of times about, well, that's their decision, that's their choice. Well, no, it's not always the case. If you don't know, then how do you know? You don't know until you know. So sometimes you have to be told. Sometimes the life that you live is that invitation for others to change their life. The life that you live is that invitation for others to accept Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that we need to stand on the street corners and yelling and holding our Bibles up and saying, repent or go to hell, because that's not what we do. What we do is offer the love of Jesus Christ in a humble way, that which we love, the way that we serve, the way that we love people right where they are. And we invite others into that relationship in that way. And a lot of people, though, hesitate. And they hesitate because so many people feel so buried up in their sin that they feel covered with hopelessness. If God only knew what I've done, then there's no way I could step through the doors of a church. Or there's no way that I could be in ministry together with anybody else. Well, God does know.
And people need to have a chance to fill that invitation. There are those who are lost that are simply waiting to be found. They don't know how badly they're lost. Sometimes people don't know they're lost until somebody else points it out. I've been there more than one time driving around and my wife say, "Well, you're lost." "Well, no, I'm not. I know exactly where I'm going." "No, you're lost. We passed this place 3 times already." "So yeah, you're lost." So sometimes we need to be told that we're lost. And we need to be invited to go in the right direction. We as a body of Christ, our ministry, our mission, is about sending out a search party rather than waiting for people to show up at the door of the church. And we send out a church party every day, every Sunday when we offer the benediction. That is your charge to go out and to simply be Christians in this community. To simply live your life as Christians. Not to go out and to stand on the corner. Not to go out and to have to be active in every facet of ministry that we have. But simply to go out and live as those who are forgiven by the blood of Christ. And when that happens, the world changes. You might say that Easter is here, or Christ has lived and died and been resurrected. Now what? So a lot of times when we have a message, when we talk about the scriptures, when we talk about who we are, we say, here's what's happened, now what? So Easter has happened, now what? The what is that we are here, and the call we answer as those forgiven by the blood of the innocent lamb is what we do. And that's what Peter is speaking today. He says, he, meaning Jesus, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as the judge of the living and dead. He commissioned us. He commanded us. He ordered us. He told us to do these things. In the midst of all of his other teachings that the world is going to turn against you and you need to do this and you need to do that, he's been reminded here and he's reminding the others that Christ commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that Christ is ordained by God. And then he goes on to talk about how all the prophets testify about him. All the prophets speak about him. So all the churches, especially today, are talking about Christ. And so today, we're reminded that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name. So as we come here, we're reminded that we've been offered a gift of forgiveness, a gift of everlasting life, because of what Jesus done for us. And that is simply that message that we live out. Live as those who are thankful for the grace and the mercy that we've received. And if somebody wants to know more about it, we tell them. We don't have to be a Bible scholar. We don't have to be a preacher. We don't have to be a Sunday school teacher. We simply live out. I mean, it's a personal relationship. What has Christ done in your life? So think back to that empty tomb for a minute. Think about who the first person was that made it to the tomb. It was Mary Magdalene. And you think about that relationship, that special relationship that she had with Jesus Christ. Jesus was her everything. Jesus was her everything. He had done so much for her in her life. Because of him, her life had changed from definitely one that was heading in the wrong direction. And when she got there to that empty tomb, I mean, she was begging the gardener to please tell me where you have taken him, my Savior. Where have you laid him? Because she just had to know that his body was there and to see his body again. But the tomb was empty. But in the midst of her own worry, she failed to recognize that the Savior the person who stood before her was the risen Savior. Why? Because Christ had put on glory. And things have changed now. And Christ is no longer just a here to there type of relationship that we saw earlier in his ministry as he traveled from town to town. Christ is available for all people in all places. And that same personal relationship that the disciples who walked with him, that the Marys, the Marthas, and all the others who had those close experiences with him, That same relationship is available to every single person. That same relationship is available to every single person, no matter where they are. And we must continue, just as the prophets, just as the disciples, that we have to continue to preach, teach, testify, and witness. We have to know in our hearts what the Easter story means to us. And so I think your homework this week is just to ask that question. Maybe write it down. Write it down. What does the Easter story mean to you? What does the Easter story mean to you? How did the Easter story change your life? How would looking at the nail-scarred hands of Jesus Christ, how has that changed your life? If you were Thomas and had a chance to see the nail-scarred hands of Jesus after he was resurrected from the dead and came back to the disciples, and Thomas was saying, I have to see and I have to touch and to see those nail-scarred hands. Imagine those in your mind. How has that changed your life? And what has that made possible for you in your life? How has the Easter story changed you? And remember this, that Christ is available. That saving grace is available to all people. And that's part of what Peter goes on to say, is even the Gentiles now have received the Spirit and were baptized. The people who normally had been on the outside are now on the inside. The life, death, and resurrection of Christ made His Spirit, the Spirit of the Heavenly Father, available to all people. And now what we have, brothers and sisters, is an opportunity before us to move forward united and bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to this broken world. We do not need to stand at the tomb asking where they have taken Him anymore. We do not need to have the question of what is next, for we know that He has ascended into heaven, into His rightful place, seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And He has made His instructions clear. Get back to work. Get back to work, for there are hungry to be fed, lost to be found, sinners to be invited, hate to be eradicated, and a world to be transformed through the love of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.